All right, you're in the arms room with Glenn.
And John.
And Drew.
And John, what's the saying? You're back to say it. Drew doesn't have to read it off a all message right. off a phone from you.
We are coming to you in the future of the past in the present.
There you go. There it is.
There it is.
Perfect. Boom.
Pre-recorded show today. We had some other things tying us up, so we had to do pre-record. And sorry to tell you, we actually have to pre-record 2 weeks in a row.
It happens.
Sad. But so this will today will be pre-recorded, and next week will be pre-recorded. And our people who are listening to this, the podcast, don't give a shit because they're not listening to it live anyway. I don't care.
Yeah.
But just so that our Facebook video watchers, viewers, whatever, know. Sorry.
That happens.
Booty hootie.
Well,
hey, something I wanted to let people know. It doesn't mean I want you blowing me up or anything like that. But last night I had a great conversation with an Arms Room listener who had listened to our Deter, Detect, Delay, and Defend, you know, 4Ds of Structural Defense episode recently and had some problems in his neighborhood.
Mm.
And really wanted to get a little bit more advice that was more specific to his situation. Look, we are educators. We are happy to answer your questions.
You're right.
We have an email, info@trainingaz.com. We have Instagram direct messages. We have all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to answer your questions.
Yeah.
If you have questions, ask us. We're happy to answer them. Sometimes, like last night, it might even turn into a phone call. I can't tell you how many phone calls I've had with clients and listeners over the years because I'm like, I don't want to type all this shit out. Can you just call me, you know? I don't want to explain to you how to travel with guns over the fucking email. I don't want to do that. I fucking hate these goddamn computers. The last thing I want to do is spend here typing it all out. Just call me and let's talk like humans, you know?
Well, and you lose a lot in the
– Yeah.
You lose a lot of the – I'm not sure the word I'm looking for, but the voice communication is often a much easier way to get a point across.
Well, and then sometimes I've like answered someone's question and gone on like a two-paragraph fucking essay.
Yeah.
And then they come back and like, that's not exactly what I was looking for. I'm like, son of a bitch. So it's like if it's going to be a long answer most of the time or if it's going to include need some personal information – most of the time,
if it's going to take me more than my phone number, 5 minutes to type it,
we should
probably talk about it.
Call me. So it sometimes surprises people, you know, when they get to talk to us. Like, dude, I'm just a normal dude. You know what I mean? I run a training company and I happen to have a podcast, but that doesn't mean shit.
No.
It doesn't mean whatever you do for your job, that's what you – this is what I do for my job. That's what you do for your job.
Yeah.
It's my job. I also really like my job.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty good at my job, but it's still just a job to me. You know, at the end of the day, that's really what it is. Just I'm happy to call you and talk to you as if we were friends. I have no problem.
Yeah, but there is a certain level of – I use this term loosely – celebrity in quotations for people that comes along with doing the things that we do.
Yeah, but
and doing them at the level that we do them.
But that's only due to other people's perception.
Right, absolutely. It's like if
you like know, to me, Chesty Puller is a much bigger celebrity than some fucktard in Hollywood.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
100% accurate in this tape.
I'm like, oh man, I wish I could have met Chesty Puller. There is not a single let me back up. There are two, unfortunately not single, all right. Celebrities, Hollywood celebrities that I would love to meet in person.
I'm curious to who those two are.
Oh, dude. Drew knows who they are.
I'm wildly curious to know who it is.
Yeah. There's just the two of them. Maybe a third one, but I think he would annoy me very quickly.
Oh.
So two for sure. Jason Statham.
Okay.
And Hugh Jackman.
He wants to marry Jason. He just wants to touch Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, you're not right. You're not wrong.
Hugh Jackman's like a – he's like a short relationship.
That's yeah.
That's all he is.
It's like a weekend fling.
He definitely wants to marry Jason.
It's a little weird.
I like him as people, man. They're cool people. Like you look at what they do in their personal lives and it's good stuff, you know. But more importantly, like I think they're interesting people.
I would like to have
that's it.
Drinks or spend a couple hours with Keanu Reeves. I think that
that would be pretty cool.
I think that like would be cool.
Guy. Or Jim Carrey. He's kind of off his rocker lately, but he would be an interesting guy.
No.
Like to have a lunch with. Where you're like, I got a thing at 2. I can't stay here longer than 2, Jim.
I got 20 minutes, Jim. Right. Let's do this.
We'll make you me a laugh. One, I got a thing at 2.
Make me laugh like you made people laugh in the 90s, bro.
Hey, you're super dark these days, man. Come on. Relax. But yeah, other than that, like, I don't care about.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it. Anytime people, one time Shazda, who was on our show just a few weeks ago, when he was in the training business, he was a retired lieutenant colonel, special operations, 26 yeah. years. Like, he's got a pretty good resume on him, and now he's just adding that resume. And one time he picked up the phone. Hey, this is Matt. You know, and this guy could hear the guy on the other end of the phone. We were happened to be sitting next to each other. What's happening? And Matt used to run his own training company while he was working for us. And one guy goes, "Is this Matt Shazda?" And the guy's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Lieutenant Colonel Matt Shazda?" And Matt's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Wow, you answer the phone?" And he's like, "Yeah, man, I'm the only fucking guy here.
I'm just a dude. It's about you called my phone.
You called my company, bro. I am just the one instructor." "Oh, wow. I thought you had other people." He's like, "No, man, it's just me." "Wow." I was like, "Oh, man." People have a different idea of it. It's the same thing with anybody, right? Like, anybody in the sporting business, you would be like, "Oh my God, a baseball player, a football player. Oh my gosh, oh, there must be so incredible." Like, they're just fucking dudes, man. You know what I mean? Like, I've had those guys. I've had a variety of professional athletes come through training programs with us, usually during spring training, which we didn't fucking have this year. But usually during spring training, we'll train a lot of the baseball players. They like to come out. Some of them just want to shoot for fun. Some of them want to legitimately train. And there's some very serious training guys in that industry. But they're just dudes, man. But like, I would mention that to some people, like, "What?
Yeah.
That's so-and-so from the Dodgers? You're training?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I train like six of those guys." "Who?" I was like, "Name off." Like, "Oh my God." I'm like, "Dude, they're just guys.
They're just dudes that play a game.
They just have
they
a job.
The same way you do."
Yeah, they just have a job. It's a cool job, but it's still a fucking job.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just an interesting way to think about things. I think people get wrapped up in the idea of who somebody else is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you want to look to people. Like, there's people I look to for advice, or there's people I look to be a mentor professionally. There's people I look to. Like, I wonder what that guy's saying. I wonder what that guy's doing. You know, and even in the training world, like, I wonder what that guy's up to. I'm going to watch this guy. I want to talk with this guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're happy to fucking talk to you.
Yeah. Long story short.
Message us. Probably going to end up on a phone call if it's a long question, because it's way easier. And I like it, man.
And all three of us will answer DMs on the Arms Room Show.
Yeah, all of us can answer that stuff. And look, man, I like what I do.
Yeah.
I got into this business because I like helping people. I did not start training because I ever in my life thought it was going to be a full-time job, ever. I never thought. There wasn't even a thought in my mind. I got into it because I enjoyed educating people, and I thought I had something to offer, and so I started teaching people what I knew, and it turns out I did have something to offer, and I was pretty decent at it, and then it just turned into a whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
That same passion I had – I'm a lot more cynical these days – but that same passion I had 12 years ago – is still the same passion I have for what I do. I look at things a little bit differently, sure, but it's still the same passion.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. What else we got here? Sticker photos for the Arms Room. Thank you to everyone who's sending them in. Keep them coming.
Yeah, I'm posting them. I'm posting a bunch right now.
We've got some good ones. Drew's been posting them up on social media, but we've definitely got some good ones. Thanks, man. If you've got those stickers from the alumni, and if you haven't gotten yours, I'm sorry, not alumni, patron. If you are a patron, and you have not received your stickers, please let us know so we can make sure that we get you your stickers. We want you to have the stuff. Independence Training, annual event. Don't forget the Out With A Bang event coming up December 27th. Team Communication and Movement. Going to be a great day in Phoenix, Arizona. Also, another special event coming up, January 22nd, is going to be a Concealed Carry Concepts class, also in Phoenix, Arizona. And that event specifically is going – it's our normal Concealed Carry Concepts class. Concealed Carry, close quarter shooting, and medicine concepts, and then live fire and scenario-based training for those events. This particular event is specifically going to benefit Sean Nealon over at the Tactical Medic to help him in the fight to get his rights restored after some pretty insane bullshit that happened to him years ago. So – anyways, if you like Sean, you like Tactical Medic, or you just want some badass fucking training, because it's not like it's a – you know, we're not asking you for a donation here. All right? We're just saying that's what this event's going to go benefit. So if it's something you're interested in, there you got an opportunity.
Word.
All right. Obviously, we have no idea what the news is because it's a pre-recorded show, so politicians are still lying. People are still conforming and complying amazingly easily. No, your compliance does not equal the moral high ground, nor does it give you absolutely any fucking right whatsoever to speak to me about it. Or actually, it does give you the right to speak to me about it in public, but understand that I also have the right to tell you, and indeed will tell you, to fuck off.
More or less.
There you go. That's what's going on in the world. Also, pretty much everything's canceled. And yeah. Your government still hates you, FYI.
Yeah.
Word. If you don't think they do, you're fucking stupid. So, Red Wire Gear Mums, roll.
So, weather's changing on us. Slowly here in the valley. Very fucking slowly here in the valley. But in the other parts of the world where the weather has a normal cycle, temps are dropping, snow's falling. It's a good opportunity to make sure you have some extra stuff in the truck, the car. Check everything. Make sure everything's going to be good for the winter and the colder temps. So there you go.
All right.
Winter prep time, kids.
Winter prep. It's getting chilly. For some people, it's already freezing cold. I was talking to my folks last night in Colorado, and it's 8 degrees there this morning, I think, or some bullshit. So for some people, it's already freaking cold.
Yep.
For us, it's still chilly.
Yeah.
Red Wire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. All right, on to the topic for this week. Common mistakes that we've seen shooters make over the years. And boy, do we have a list.
Yeah, buddy.
And each one of these items is damn near a show in its own regard. Oh, but but we're gonna keep going. All right, here. First of all, I'm gonna start off with focusing on hardware and not software.
Yes.
And this is all shooters. So I want to preface what we're going to say with this is all shooters. This is new shooters. This is intermediate shooters. This is experienced shooters, whatever that means to you.
Right.
Right. Whatever your level of experience is based on the context of your shooting. This is everybody focusing too much on hardware and not enough about software. Right. Everyone wants to sit around and contemplate and debate what the best gun is, what the best caliber, how many rounds does it hold, how much does it cost, red dot or no red dot, night sights or not night sights, suppressor height sights, what trigger should I get, who does the best stippling, should I get it Cerakoted, what color, what pattern, what holster, what optic, what sling, blah, 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 blah. There are important hardware decisions to make.
Yes.
Make them when you are educated.
Yes.
Do lots of research to include as much hands-on real-world time as you can get, including even training. If you're going to go to a class, like a class with independence training, for example, and you want to try something different, let us know. If you're not going to be training with independence training, you're going to be training with whatever Bob's fucking gun training, whoever it's going to be, ask them, hey, I'm coming to a carbine class. I've only ever used a red dot. I'd really like to try out an LPVO. Is there a way that you have one I can borrow for the class, or at the very least, you could bring out a carbine equipped with an LPVO that I could look through or maybe even shoot for 30 or 45 minutes? If they can't facilitate it for whatever reason they can't, then reach out to your network of shooters and people that you know, compete with, hunt with, shoot with, whatever. Hey, man, I'd just like to try this thing out. Likely, yep, you probably can find that. But the problem with anything decent gear-wise is it's all expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And expensive is relative.
Right.
But it all costs money, and money is – you have to work for it. Mm-hmm. So don't spend it if you don't have to. Make sure that you are considering the software skills that go with the hardware before you go jumping on all this hardware.
Yeah, but I can't post software on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or – like, I can't post those things. I can't post my software up, right?
No fun. Here's the reality, man. When people say they don't shoot XYZ piece of hardware well, what they mean is they don't shoot well.
100%. Now, there are – I will say this. There are guns in my safe that I don't shoot very often.
Sure.
And I shoot them well enough, but I do shoot – my carry gun better because I shoot it more.
And I'm going to shoot my carry gun better because it's got the sights I like and it's got the trigger that I like and
right.
it's got the grip I like. And but I'm not saying you're not going to shoot some guns better.
Right.
But if you're like, oh, I can't shoot this gun.
Oh, I can't shoot a SIG.
I can't shoot this gun.
Yeah, I can't.
You can. I can't you can shoot or you can't shoot.
Yeah, I can't shoot that rifle.
I might shoot some guns better, that's for sure. Right. And then you have inherent accuracy, right? Like, am I going to shoot my precision rifle at 200 yards more accurately than I'm going to shoot an 8mm Mauser? Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yes.
Right?
100% of the time.
Because one of them is specifically built for a very specific reason, and so is the other one. So I'm not saying you don't shoot some things better, but I'm talking generally. If you're
yeah,
like,
when people are like, oh, I can't shoot a Glock.
Nah, I can't shoot that. It's the grip angle. No, it's not the grip. If you're working proper sight presentation, the grip angle shouldn't really bother you. Now, are there some people who have issues? Yeah, man. We have students with fused wrists or missing fingers or missing arms or legs or whatever. Yeah, man, that's going to affect their capability to do some shit. We know that. So there might be equipment that they're like, dude, I can't. This doesn't work for me.
Right.
There are those circumstances. But overall, if we're going to paint the whole thing with the broad brush,
oh, yeah.
It's a software issue, not a hardware issue. I have watched shooters chase accuracy dreams by buying different guns.
Oh, God.
They go from gun to gun to gun to, well, I wasn't very accurate with that gun, so I'm going to get a different gun. Well, that one's not as accurate or as whatever as I want it to be. I'm going to get a different one. It's like, dude, it'll be okay.
You suck.
Software problem. Software yeah. problem. So I would say that's kind of thing number one. That's a big common mistake. We see people chasing hardware instead of software.
Mm-hmm.
In that vein, buying the wrong gear.
Oh, God. And it's either people have – I've seen less people buy the wrong thing for them, gun specifically, and more buy the wrong thing for
somebody else.
Mom, dad, wife, cousin, girlfriend, whatever, yeah. right? You see that a lot where somebody shows up to class like, oh, so-and-so bought me this gun. Because they said it's the right gun for who I am.
Right.
Right. And then one, they don't like it. Two, they, regardless of software, they can't shoot the gun very well for the size of their hands, the whatever, right? Any of the other issues that we've run into. And then you get people that are new to the game and they go out and they buy the $2,000 Glock and it's more than they can, it's more than they need.
Mm-hmm.
Period. At all. Like they don't need the they don't need,
they
a,
need
race
a compensator gun. All raced
yeah.
out with
yeah. They don't need a race gun. They need a basic 19, right? So you see that some, and then you see it a lot more. I see it a lot more with people that go out and buy armor and helmets and all of these things, right? For whatever reason that they're buying all of these things for, and I'm not saying don't own these things. They're great. I own all of them. Except nods. I figure if, you know, I'll take a line from Plumlee on this one. I figure if the time comes that I really need them, I'll be able to pick up a set somewhere on the ground.
There'll be a few extra laying around.
But you see it a lot with that type of stuff, I think more so than with firearms in general. Too much crap on their belt, too much stuff on their carrier. Carrier's not set up right. Carrier's not fit right. We can do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
Or two shows or three shows or whatever. But I think you see that more with the equipment than necessarily the firearms themselves.
Yeah, I think buying the wrong stuff is like, well, I heard that so-and-so run these sights, so I got these sights, but my eyes don't like them.
Right.
So-and-so runs this trigger, so I got this trigger, but I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
This optic, this stock, this sling, whatever.
Well, there's only one sling to buy, period.
The Magpul?
Yeah, that's not that one.
Okay. Pretty nice.
It's all right.
Or are you talking about the Viking Tag, this one?
No, not
the Proctor sling?
No.
Oh. The BFG sling?
No. God, no.
Oh. That old leather M14 yeah. sling?
That one. That's the one everyone should have.
That's the one. You can't sling wrap unless you're sling wrap on M14 sling, kids. And if you don't know what we're talking about, stop listening and Google M14 sling wrap.
Yep.
And practice that shit, and then you'll slay bodies in the boog.
Yep.
If you don't know how to sling wrap, you ain't be slaying no bodies.
Nope, not at all.
Of course, John's talking about the convertible sling from Redwire Gear, which I will say, shameless plug, it is legitimately the only sling I use. I've got three
Didn't
variations.
Did the two of you design it?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
So of course you're going to be.
But my bias isn't like as an example. Just so everybody knows, like there are several Redwire gear products I use, but like the Mark 82 is not my primary med kit.
Yeah,
it was for a while.
Well, it is the kit I use on the range.
Right. But yeah, but it's not a primary.
But it's not my primary med kit. It's for me, it doesn't work for my particular situations and every aspect it could be utilized. So
and he had a design. He had a hand in the design.
Yeah, and I helped design that too. It's a great product. It's just not my. It's not perfect for me. Yeah. It was a good setup. The way
it has
built
it has a fairly narrow application.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm a little biased towards it, but mostly I'm biased towards it because I was like, I wish I had a sling that did
X, Y, and Z
these things. John, make that shit, you know. And then he did that, and then a couple other guys had some input on it. And the next thing you know, you've got a sling that's fully functional. Yep. And now I have one. I have one of the originals that's still on one of my primary rifles. It's so gross. It's like sweat.
It's like my hat
molded to my body.
It's like my hat that you hate.
It's badass, man. But
looks like it's made out of oiled leather.
Yeah. Is this a leather sling? Nah, that's my one. Gross.
Should wash that. No.
Yeah. I was like when I took my hat into From the Ashes that time to get a quote on some new hats. And she was like, "Did we make this?" And I go, "Yeah, this is." She's like, "We don't have this color." And I go, "Well, that's brown." And she was like, "Ew!" And she like hands it back to me. She's like, "Ugh! How long have you been wearing this?" I'm like, every day for
a while, a
couple years."
Oh, wow.
She's like, "This is gross. You definitely need some new hats." Yeah, it used to be brown. Anyways, yeah, the wrong gear can definitely become an issue because people are so excited to get gear, they jump in and they get the wrong gear. Yeah. I know, like, for Drew, specifically, this is something that, you know, you mentioned people buying the wrong stuff. And this is – I will bring this up every chance I get. I say it in ladies' classes. I'll say it in front of guys. I've said it on the show. I'm going to say it again. Don't buy other people's shit unless they asked for it.
Yes.
Right? I bought Drew a Shield 2.0, you know, earlier this year.
Right.
Because Drew – wanted a Shield 2.0. I wasn't like, listen here, little lady. You know what you're going to like?
You're going to like a snub-nosed revolver.
You're going to like the snub-nosed revolver. Don't worry, it comes in pink. It's got a laser on fucking laser on it, man. You just put the laser right, ba-dang-dang, right in the fucking chest. Kow, kow, kow. You're a dead man.
And you can practice 38s all day, and then we'll just put 37 super hot fucking plus P's in it.
Adrenaline's going to be running through your body so much, and I ain't going to know the fucking difference.
Until you break your fucking wrist.
Until you miss a lot. Don't hit your follow-up shots. Can't pull the trigger because you're arthritic. You know what you need, little old arthritic lady? What you need is a fucking – you need a little LCR. It's super fucking lightweight.
But it's got a 47-pound fucking trigger that takes 15 minutes to pull.
Once again, I will apologize to all the southern people. I don't know why I do it.
It's not you. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
I spend too much time in the South. That's my defense. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. If you're offended by that, you probably – don't listen to our show regularly. We said way more offensive things. Two Southern people.
So, I am a Southern people.
So, yeah, it's don't buy other people's stuff. I mean, Drew was the recipient previous to our relationship of one.
This is what you need. This one, is what I bought you.
No, hand-me-downs, which is even worse.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I got all the hand-me-downs. Like, oh, I'm buying this. You can have this now.
I don't want this.
Gee, thanks.
That's good.
I think that was a very new experience for Drew when we got together. She was just like, I was like, so what do you want here? What do you want this to be like? What kind of optic do you want on this gun? What kind of light? How do you want your shit set up? What color do you want it? You know, all that. She's like, I don't know. It's whatever. I'm like, it's not whatever. It's your fucking gun.
Yeah, this
I'll
is
leave
yours.
It in a fucking box full of parts for all I give a shit. Like, do you want the thing or not? You know what I mean?
I'll just fucking strip it all down and leave it in the box. Here.
What do you want?
Figure it out.
When he surprised me and told me that he was building me this Creedmoor.
Yeah.
He was like, that was like, I was mind blown.
And even then, I'm just like, yeah, we're going to build this rifle. Well, what happened was I had too many drinks. It's a whiskey and war stories situation, and I bought a fucking McMillan stock at the silent auction.
So you had to build a rifle on it. You couldn't just sell the stock.
No. I got it at a smoking deal. So we're sitting at the table with the McMillan stock guys.
Well, that's why I'm building an AR pistols because a buddy of mine gave me a stripped lower.
Yeah, you're like, you know what this is going to be. You son of a bitch, right?
You know what's happening.
So we're sitting there, whatever. I got this freaking stock and then – no, I wasn't going to buy the stock. Actually, all I was buying was I was buying Drew a bottle of wine.
right.
on the silent auction. And then also yes. I was buying
because the wine went for the canines, the canine training.
Yeah, right. So I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. So we bought some wine. I was bidding on some wine. And then Chris and I were bidding on this Argentina dove hunt, which we got for a song. I mean, we
yeah, smoking deal.
Super excited to go when all this COVID shit finally releases. We'll go on our little fucking Argentina dove hunt. But so we're bidding on that, really focused on trying to not let this other motherfucker in the room get it because he's trying to snipe us. And then I'm sitting there with the McMillan stock guys, and they're like, man, like no one's hardly bidding on these stocks. Like, this stock is worth X, and look, its price is Y. I'm like, well, fuck, I'll throw a bid on that shit. I throw a bid, and then someone else throws a bid. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking outbid me. You know what I mean? son of a bitch. You know?
It was the McMillan guy that went back and put the other
probably,
bid.
He's over at the other table going, man, no one's bidding on these things. He's just walking around.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, so then finally the final bid hits, and they were like, dude, you got this thing for a song. And they did a smoking awesome deal for me. They coated it the pattern that we wanted.
Yeah.
They added a pick rail at the end so we can add our Atlas bipod. It was pretty badass. And so I was like, well, fuck, I'm going to do this shit now. All right, fuck it. Send it to LRK and call it the LRK guys. And I'm like, new build time. So we're slowly parting it together. As funds allow, we're parting it together.
Nice.
But yeah. But you know, I want Drew to have her own rifle. Right now she shoots –
your old comp gun, right?
Well, you shoot either my old comp gun or my heavy barreled hunting 308
mm-hmm.
when I shoot coyotes with. So it's like, I don't know, man. I just want her to have her own stuff, but I don't want her to have the stuff that she wants. You know, she needs to have a hand in that. So I think that's a big part of it too. Like a lot of guys are like, well, what if my lady doesn't know what she wants? Or hey, ladies, maybe you're the shooter and mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what my guy wants. Then don't fucking get him anything.
Yeah, make him go test or make whoever go and test. Yeah.
Well, they don't know what they want, so I'm just going to get him. No, don't
do that.
Solve the software problem mm-hmm. before you solve the hardware problem. So if I go to Drew and go, hey, what caliber do you want this rifle in? You know, and she goes, I don't know. What do you think?
I've bought my wife one handgun. We've been together for 18 years.
One handgun?
Bought her one handgun. She wanted a 1911. I bought her a 1911.
Drew's got a few guns from me.
Yeah.
A couple she steals, though. She stole that Glock 19. One of my old comp guns.
I did.
Flat out fucking stole
the original Glock 19?
No, traded you.
Oh, not the first one that you had?
No, that original Glock 19 is my carry gun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I traded because remember the 19 went into our...
What did you trade?
The Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody got the short end of that
very
stick.
Good fucking trade, man.
Well, no. Hold on.
A Springfield and some hugs. Here, have a crappy pistol. Here, have an extra hug.
Well, right, no, continue, because they were in the box for the rental. They were the rental guns. So
yeah.
I took the 19 and then just swapped it out with the Springfield and put it in the rental box.
Yeah.
So I just took the 19 out of the rental.
Yeah.
In our thousands of
you still got
rentals.
You still got the better end of the fucking deal.
For sure.
What else?
Anyways, it's going to gear too quickly. And in that vein, upgrading too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I will have students come out. It's like they're like, all right, I just got this rifle. You're like, all right, cool. They go out and shoot. Like, man, I love shooting this rifle. Like, awesome. Like, tell me all the things I can buy for it. I'm like, don't. Buy more ammo, more training, more range time, more fuel to get you out to the range or the desert or wherever it is you shoot, more money for targets, all that.
Is the rifle functional?
Yeah. Is it doing what you – until you – and this is something that Drew had mentioned. I can't remember if she mentioned it before the show or during the show, but until you're out shooting the gun.
Right.
Until the gun is limiting you is a better way to say it. Until something is limiting you. Like I replace my triggers when I'm being limited by the trigger. What
when you're
going to
get that tenth of a second.
Well, it's not even that I'm concerned about. It's like dwell time. I feel like this trigger is like fucking forever heavy.
Right.
It's not comfortable on my finger. My hand doesn't fit it. Can I modify this gun, grip, trigger or whatever, so my hand fits it better? If yes, that's an upgrade worth doing so that it works better for you.
And that's a road I'm about to travel down.
So it's like one of those things, right? I don't upgrade my stuff. A lot of times people will see like, dude, I have the same guns. If you've trained with me, since the beginning, I have taught classes with three guns. In 12 years, I have taught classes with three handguns. And the first handgun I taught class with
and only
was
two rifles, really.
A couple of months. That was it. It was like the first few months that I was training. Basically, as soon as I realized, oh shit, I think this might turn into a job, I stopped using one pistol, which when I first started, I was using an M9.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was super comfortable with the
M9. It's a great pistol.
I really love my M9.
It's a great fucking pistol. I
love the M9. And then I switched to my Ruger SR9, which I ran for years until.
Seven years?
Probably 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just ran the dog shit out of it. And it's a great shooting pistol, super accurate, fit my hand, really great, great to carry. Switched over to Glocks maybe 5 or something years ago.
Yeah, about right.
And it's been fine. I did that for functional purposes. That's it. I don't care about shooting one or the other. It's a fucking gun. You know, but there's things that the Glock could enable me to do better that the Ruger couldn't, like buy cheap magazines, easily get access to holsters, sights, triggers.
Yeah.
I was limited by what I could do with the Ruger because there were limited options to fucking do shit with it.
Yeah. Whereas the Glock, you can build a Glock that's got nothing from Glock on it.
Yeah, exactly. You can literally have an all Glock, no Glock parts. So so that was something, you know, that I made that change. But yeah, I mean, in 12 years of teaching, I've taught with 3 different pistols, really. You know, I pretty much find what I want. I stick with it unless it limits me. You know, carbines, same thing. I mean, my carbine now is the second carbine that I've taught with professionally.
Is it the second one?
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a third one in there.
My first one was just a Frankenstein, and Frankensteined its way through a variety of different setups.
Okay. Yeah.
But now that original Frankenstein is now that my SPR with the 1-10 razor on it that I'll throw like the thermal on, whatever the Drew shot at the field carbine.
You originally
class had
that
the Cav Arms.
The Cav Arms. Mm-hmm. With the buttstock mag pouch.
With my buttstock mag pouch, dude.
Oh my God.
How the times have changed.
Jesus.
It made sense.
And a primary arms micro dot.
And a primary arms micro dot. Yeah. And I was shooting competition with that shit.
Yeah.
And winning.
Yep.
FYI. You don't need amazing shit. Until that shit limited me, I didn't change it.
Yep.
And then when I found limitations of certain gear, then I started changing them. And then it made sense to change it. And that gun morphed into what is now kind of like my primary SPR. And then I got my SBR. I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And that then became my primary go-to gun, and that's really the only gun I teach with now. You know, I'll pull out other guns like my competition rifles or something like that to show or demonstrate. If I'm teaching that type of class, obviously if I'm teaching a field carbine class or something like that, I may have a different gun on me. But but for the most part, like until something limits me, I don't change it.
Well, there's no need.
What's the point? So limitation is always what I'm looking for before I upgrade gear. How does this – even slings. You know, I was running before John – before I started using John's slings. I jokingly say the Magpul sling because that's what I used to run. I used to run the old school –
MS1s.
MS1 sling. I liked
the original tubular nylon MS1.
It was great, man. It served the fucking purpose that I needed it to serve. I could modify it so I could move it from a single point to a 2-point. And, you know, I kind of figured out how to mess with that sling a little bit. It was great. And then when John started making slings, I'm like, yeah, man, I wish a sling did this, 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 and this because I like the VTAC sling. I like the Proctor sling. I like the – but I don't like – there's these things about them I don't like. I like the BFG, but what's with all the fucking straps? Why do you have all these extra fucking straps, you know? Like, so I like these certain slings, but
– I like the functionality of some of these, but nothing that functions the way they could.
So then John built his sling, and John would be the first to tell you, I am not a pat John on the back kind of fella.
No,
you
know what I mean? the first sling I gave him, I think I still have, was a total piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he made no qualms about that. He was like, this thing's a piece of shit. And I was like,
this ain't gonna fucking work, John.
When I looked at it again, I was like, he's right. That's a piece of shit. I can do better.
So John built a functional sling, so I'm like, okay, I'll use this sling. And it still fucking works. So why would I change it? I've tried other slings. It's not like I'm like, oh, I love this sling. I'll never use another sling. No. I would love to find a better sling. I'm always on the hunt.
Yeah.
I'm always on the hunt for a better holster, a better sight. I'm always on the hunt if I have a limitation. Right now, the sling doesn't limit me. If I found a better sling, I'd fucking take that. But I haven't found anything that's better yet. This thing does everything I need it to do. The end.
Period.
If I find a limitation, like when you made the precision version of the sling where you literally just added a buckle in the middle because Josh came to you and said, I wish I could disconnect this. And you were like, actually, I could put a buckle in there. That was a limitation on the sling. We can modify it. Boom. Now the sling has a buckle in the middle. Perfect. Now we can use it for precision, you know, tripod mounting work. Awesome. So I have that variation of it as well when I do that kind of work. Otherwise, regular old freaking sling.
Actually, I need to start selling those.
Yeah, you do. They're a good sling.
Those still aren't on the website.
So it's limitations, right?
Right.
But that's a common mistake we see shooters make. not really realizing the integration of skills. And what I mean by that is, and this is maybe the most common mistake we see shooters make. And I know people listening to the show are like, I wanted to hear him talk about trigger prep. Now, fuck that.
No.
All right. This shit is more important than that.
Yep.
Because we'll get to that here in a second. But let's look at the actual mistakes people are making that get their heads so wrapped around the wrong shit that they can't focus on things like trigger press.
Yep.
So integration of skills is one of them. I know we've beat this horse 1,000 times. We're going to beat it again. Things like fitness, for example. Tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Where do tactics fit into your good shooting? Where does fitness fit into you being a better, more functional, more capable shooter? What is your sharpness of your mind? Like, what do you do with your brain during the day? Are you, I hate my fucking job, right? Monday through Friday, like John said, you know, oh God, it's Monday again.
Change fucking life.
Can't wait for the weekend. I just get paid and get the fuck out of here. Like, if that's your mindset, you're not going to get as much out of training with us as you would like.
No.
If you're not sharpening your mind, reading books, you know, playing games, stressing your brain out, working that muscle.
Studying your craft.
Exercising your eyes. Taking care of your body. Good diet. Like, those are all skill sets that integrate.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting is not just a thing.
Well, and then you look at just the defensive part of shooting, right? Like that, you know, we've always said that that's – there's this much that goes into it. My arms are spread wide for – since this isn't on video. And then – this is the shooting, which is about an inch between my thumb and my forefinger, right? Like, people forget all the other crap. When we talked about some of that last week, you know, you have to be more aware of your surroundings. You have to have those around you trained to the same level that you're, or as close to that same level as you can get to. You have to understand medicine, right? You have to understand field trauma medicine, right? Because if you're willing to put holes in people, you should really understand how to fix holes in people.
Especially if they end up in you.
Yeah, you should for sure be able to fix that. But none of that stuff is sexy. Reading a book at home on Tuesday night, it's not sexy. Mm-hmm. Playing a game of chess with your kids at home on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, whatever, it's not sexy. Going to the range.
Yeah,
or whatever your game is.
That's what we just played last night. We didn't play five minutes.
We got distracted by coloring elves.
That's right.
Yeah. Even kids, doing stuff like that.
Kids forced me to draw them elves for like an hour.
And then they colored the elves.
Yeah. Nice.
Like even doing things like that, people forget about that. Was it Picasso? I drew as a child for so many years, and then I spent the rest of my life trying to figure out how to do that again.
Mm.
There's a certain inherent relaxation in the brain to get those things back. Like when I was a kid, I used to draw cars and trucks and houses. Yeah. And then at some point, I just stopped.
Same.
And now when I go back and I try to do it, I'm like, this looks like shit.
Mine doesn't look like shit, but it's not where it used to be.
Mine looks like shit.
I've seen you draw circles and crosshairs. Like,
have you seen his dinosaurs that he's been drawing lately?
They look exactly like the dinosaurs I drew when I was like 10 years old.
Oh, perfect.
We found a dinosaur book that Glenn made when he was 10 and all the kids were looking
find
at.
My mom dug it. I don't keep personal shit. Like, I'm not that kind of person. I will keep personal notes from my kids or something for a while, and then I will purge them and I'll keep the few that are important to me. I could put all of my personal shit in like a small box that could easily slide under the bed. You know, I just don't keep personal effects. I'm not attached to things.
Right.
But my mom is. And so she kept all kinds of shit from us. Like, she has shit from school.
And now I keep it.
She produced this fucking A to Z dinosaurs book.
I super want to see this the next time.
I'll bring it in.
It's at the house.
The kids love it. The kids love it. And so it was funny because we did a family art night where we got this big, long, rolled out paper.
And we
taped it to the ground and everybody started drawing.
And so somebody had a blue liver, right?
Yeah, that was the body that we drew.
They traced the body, and then I drew all the organs and stuff on it. And that I can draw. I can draw organs pretty well. I'm pretty good at drawing.
But it was funny because then
mostly Glenn, veiny penises, of course.
But then Glenn drew a dinosaur, and then the kids went and got the dinosaur book. It was the exact same dinosaur.
Yeah,
same book.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed.
I'm like, you want to see me draw a fighter jet or a hot rod? I only do one. I'm not taking requests.
Nope.
I'm going to draw a fighter jet. Yep. I don't give a fuck which fighter jet you want me to draw. In fact, this one isn't even in the military inventory. But you will recognize it as a fighter jet. Totally. You will recognize it as a functional fighter jet. This hot rod is a hot rod. One fucking hot rod. You have one option. That's what it's going to look like.
So true. So yeah. True.
I'm not doing anything else, man.
He makes really good turkey hands, though.
Yeah. Questionable, but yeah.
But yeah, but see, so if this was on video, you would see all of us smiling, right? You clearly hear us giggling. There's a certain inherent, like, childlike excitement that comes with doing things like that keeps your mind sharp, relaxes your mind, and you forget about all the bullshit for a few minutes.
And it makes you a better shooter. Like, one of the things that's interesting to me when I'm doing competition, and I'm not doing competition as much now as I used to, but when I was shooting a lot of competition and doing very well, people would ask me, like, well, like, what's a secret? Like, give me a tip. And I'm like, I don't fucking care. I don't care about the results. I care about the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here relaxed. And I came here to relax. And I came here with a sharp mind. And I came here with a capable body. And I came here with skill sets that, quite honestly, aren't the best skill sets here.
No.
But when you combine all the other things together, that's why I'm doing better than you are, so to speak, right?
Yep.
You could beat me too. Look at, like, some of the other shooters I did well with. Same concept. They didn't bring – maybe their physical level was not mine, but their mental capacity was higher.
Right.
Maybe their shooting skill was a little bit higher, and they were a little bit more relaxed than me. They weren't as stressed out as me, right, or whatever it may. So they did just as well or maybe even better than me. A lot of these integration of skill sets, man, people just don't consider the effect that kind of stuff has on your performance with everything.
Yeah.
But certainly, since we're talking about shooting, your performance with shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Stop worrying about the results and focus on the process. You know what I think about when I'm shooting competition? Or I'm shooting as an instructor and I'm shooting in front of students. I'm not like, oh my God, there's like 12 students here and they're all watching me. No, I gotta fuck up. I can't fuck up. Okay, don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. All I see is target, sights, trigger.
Yep.
Recover. Target, sights, trigger. Next.
What's the concept of the empty mind where you're only on the task at hand? Yeah. Nothing else is there. Nothing else fucking matters.
And the good thing is we're guys, so it's easy for us to empty our mind for the most part, right? We're pretty single-tracked
flush
about stuff.
Gone.
But that's not true for all guys, and even more so for ladies. They got so much shit going on in their brains and so many different things they're trying to think about. It's an exercise that I've found just from instructing ladies. It's an exercise all in itself just to get ladies to stop thinking about so much stuff. They
and
gotta
that's,
stop.
And that's partly our fault too as dudes, as husbands, fathers, boyfriends.
Yeah, you can put too much on them. That's for sure.
You know, we're like, hey, whoa. It's like, just stop. Just let it go.
So focusing on the process is more important than focusing on the results. That's a common mistake I see almost all shooters make. They shoot a bolt. They want to see where it went. I'm like, fuck that.
Doesn't matter.
Fuck that. Some of my favorite exercises to do are like, you know, negative reinforcement, oh, yeah. You know, target. Just cut the center. And I'm like, just put the bullet through that 10-inch fucking circle. You will not see where it goes because there's a hole in the middle of your target. And they shoot and they're like, okay. And you're like, now you can actually focus on the process and not worry so damn much about the results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll turn targets around backward and have them shoot through the ratty cardboard where they can't tell where their bullets are going. And every time I turn the target back where they can actually see where their bullets went on the paper, they're like, holy
shit.
Pretty
good shot group.
I'm pretty good. And you're like, yeah, you are. Yeah. When you're not focused on the results and you're more focused on the process, you're way better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That was something I learned with even like running, you know? Running with Drew, it's like, if I focus on the process, I'm a better runner.
Yeah,
if I focus on the results, I'm not as good.
I need to get to –
oh, God.
I need to run faster.
I need to run harder. Oh, my muscles are hurting. Oh, I'm out of breath. Whatever. Like, now I'm focused on these results. It's like, fuck all that. Just focus on the process. What's the process going to get me where I need to go?
I listen to my breathing when I shoot. That's it.
There you go. That's your process. Trying to do too much too quickly.
Oh, God.
People are like, okay, This is a lot of students that we get. And again, this is students of all skill levels, so contextualize this however you need to. But they show up. They're like, all right, cool. This is how I load the gun. You're like, yep. They're like, so I put the bullets in like this. Yep, that's how you do it. And then I insert the mag like this. Mm-hmm. And then I rack the slide. Uh-huh. When do we shoot out of helicopters? You're like, whoa, easy, Tiger. Let's just hit the target at 5 yards. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, that's a big jump, kind of an over-exaggeration. But the idea is
– not really.
Not always. Get to the point where you can do things without having to think about them before moving on to the next step. When you can stand static and hit the target at 5 yards from concealment, from your holster, from a bench, whatever you've got, consistently and within your accuracy standard, and yep, you can do it without having to put so much effort into it, now worry about going further out. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing we talked about in the Black Friday class that we just did, but it was focused on, you know, marksmanship.
Yep.
It's like we started close. We were shooting pistols at 3 yards. There is not a class I've taught in my life where we started shooting pistols at 3 yards. You know, we zeroed our carbines at 25 and shot them at 5 and did positional shooting at 25. Positional shooting at 25. That's crazy, right? But no. as people got better doing positional shooting, in fact, really we were doing positional shooting at 10. We were doing positional shooting at 10. People are shooting well. They're understanding their zeros. They're understanding their hold-offs. They're understanding what they need to accomplish. Then suddenly at 25, not as big of a deal. And then we had them shooting at 80, and now I was like, oh. It's easy to hit that 4-inch circle at 80 yards again and again and again and again with my red dot from this position because – shit, I know how to tighten it up at 10. Mm-hmm. And I can't get it wrong at 10. So if I can't get it wrong at 10, that means I'm probably not going to get it wrong at 25. Mm. You know, but if you start farther out, it's harder to correct. You know, if you go too much too fast, you're not going to see the errors until you have so many fucking repetitions of that bad thing built in.
Yeah, if you're not, so with your rifle,
hard to overcome that shit.
If you're not shooting a tight group at 25, you got no business shooting further.
Yeah, what are you doing further? We see the same thing in precision rifle. People are like, how far out do we shoot? I'll usually tell them 100 yards. And they go, what? That's as far as you shoot in a 3-day class? I go, if you suck, yeah, that's as far as you'll ever fucking shoot. Let's get you dialed in at 100.
Yeah, I've done
Let's make sure you can understand how your reticle works, how your scope turrets work. Let's do that and get you tight and make sure you understand the principles and fundamentals, because if you can't get it done right at 100, what the hell are we going to do further out? You think, what, magically you get more accurate as the target gets further away? Not absolutely.
I've done the precision carbine, or I've done the precision rifle class one full day, and I've done a couple of the other days here and there. Mm. I'm a 500-yard shooter with my rifle. I'm a 500-yard shooter with my precision rifle. Beyond 500, my shit comes from together just because I don't have the time, and it's quite honestly not a thing I'm going to put the time in.
It's not contextual for you.
Yeah.
For some odd reason, I'm really good at outside of over 500. I don't know why.
It's not odd. Actually, I know what it is.
Me too.
What do you think it is?
Women are better precision shooters.
No. Why is she better farther out than closer in?
Because I can see.
Smaller targets.
Yeah.
Less focus. One of the ways we typically work on people being more accurate closer in is make them shoot on lower power.
Yeah.
You know, shoot your 200-yard targets on 4 power. Shoot your 100-yard zero at 4 power. Like, verify a high power that you got it.
Yeah.
And then shoot it again at 4
to 6. But even that 1 to 10, I didn't even walk it out to 10.
No, you were back inside.
I was in
inside.
6. Yeah. I was in 6 and 4.
And the lower shooting. You were, the better you shot.
Yeah. Well, right. Even at night when I shot, because Garrett had that 1 to 10, I didn't.
At night.
When we did the precision.
Oh, he didn't have a 1 to 10 that day. He had a that 4 to 18.
Oh,
you had
that's
like a
right.
5 to 27. Yeah. Meters. But yeah, well, shit, at night, you can't even zoom in all the way. You'll never find your fucking target.
No, but that was fun to do. That was a lot of fun. I almost won top shot for precision.
And low power magnification, man, is the way to go. Most people go too much magnification.
Oh, God. Yeah, dude.
I think I lost by, because it was, I think I lost by a couple seconds.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Yeah.
I got
damn
beat
you,
by
Daryl.
I got beat by a quarter of an inch.
Daryl beat me.
Ah, I remember that. Holy
I got
shit.
Beat by a fucking quarter inch.
It was like the same time.
Yep.
John and this other guy
I was
tied.
Faster.
It was accuracy. That's right.
I was
right.
faster.
His best hit short
amount
of time.
But he beat me by a quarter inch.
Yep, the final target in that top shot at that class, we were shooting off that ridgeline at Cowtown. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And shooting John, that fucking pig.
Yep, and John hit. We had Brian measure like three times.
Yep.
We're like, measure it sideways. Now measure it with the other part of the tape measure. Nope, it's a fucking quarter inch every time.
Yep. Oopsie got beat by a quarter inch.
Every inch counts, Sean.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes,
even
it does.
Every quarter inch.
That's what she said.
Hey,
worrying about speed over fundamentals and accuracy. I mostly blame all those faggot-ass bitches on freaking Instagram for this shit. I blame social media.
Sub-second draw with three rounds on target?
Dude, I am so sick of this focus on speed. Show me the target. Now, if you're fast and accurate, I got nothing to say to that.
Take a guy like J.J. Ricaza.
Contextualize it, okay? Contextualize it, but...
For him...
If you're fast and accurate, awesome.
For him, from the holster, two shots on target with a reload makes sense. Right. And he, like, that was a thing. I say that because I recently saw that. It's like a challenge he's put out, like 2.3 seconds.
Yeah. I'm not going to spend any time.
One reload, one from the holster, 2.3 seconds. For him, that makes sense because that's what he does. You know, his big thing is he's a competition shooter. Mm. Right. And the faster you go in competition, he who scores the most points, the fastest wins.
Mm.
Right. So that makes sense to him. Me being able to do that with my, not stock, but not fucking super tricked out Glock 19. Mm. Not really all that important. It's just not. It doesn't fit my life. I don't need to push the envelope that far.
Well, and that's the contextualizing part, right? Which is like literally the next thing we want to talk about, which is bad context of what you're learning versus what you need to do.
Yep.
That's the big problem with the focus on speed over accuracy. I mean, first of all, you got to accept what's the context of the accuracy I actually need to get.
8.5 by 11
fist size group, chest size shot, pennies. Do I need to stack rounds under a penny? Because maybe based on the type of shooting I'm doing, that might be
maybe.
What I need.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to first set my accuracy standard. Way before I even give a damn about speed, I have got to set my accuracy standard. What am I trying to accomplish? Way before speed. And then meet that accuracy standard every way I possibly can think of doing before applying the aspect of physical speed. Again, we're looking at the result, at the process, not the results. And that's where people get this bad context of what they're learning versus what they need to learn. You know, I look at training these days as huge focus on super fast reloads and this huge focus on some of these aspects where I'm like, why are we teaching people super crazy fast fucking reloads? Look at the actual statistics. Look at the actual situations that actually happen. The number of, oh my God, emergency, I'm going to die if I don't get more ammunition in the gun type situations is incredibly, incredibly low. So low, it's almost non-existent. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't work on an efficient reload because you should always be able to reload your gun efficiently.
But that's a contextual thing.
But that's a contextual thing. Well, I'm talking about armed citizens. Now,
if I'm downrange and it's me and four dudes and we're making entry or five dudes or whatever and my gun goes down, for sure I need to be able to fix it. And I need to be able to fix it quickly.
Yep.
I've got a second or two because I've got some buddies with me. Mm-hmm. But it still needs to happen like right fucking
now. I need to be able to fix the gun, transition to a secondary, whatever. Absolutely.
And that makes sense for those real fast reloads come into. Which also makes sense why there's so much emphasis put on it in the civilian training. Because the majority of trainers
come from the military and lack the ability or don't give a shit enough to contextualize what they're doing to the people that they're teaching.
Yep.
I mean, man, I can't tell you how many classes I've been through where I'm just like, man, this is a fucking joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy's got an XYZ fucking pedigree and we're laying down suppressive fire with our pistols. Jesus Christ. I have a Glock 19, bro.
What
am I going to teach this to Drew and her 8-round shield?
We're laying prone at 10 yards.
A class we took. Yeah, we're proned out at 10 yards.
Rolling to the left and rolling to the right.
Rolling sideways or doing a night shooter. That one class we took was like six targets in front of us. How fast can you just shoot all these targets as fast as you fucking can? All six targets, static. You're static, they're static. How fast can you shoot everything? Who fucking cares? This is out of context, man. I'm just burning ammo. I'm literally just bullet hosing this, and you're just jerking everybody off with your fucking pedigree, mm-hmm. trying to tell them, oh, this is how we did it in the fucking special forces. No, it is not. No, it is not. First of all, don't lie to me about that shit. And second of all, no, it's not. You lack the ability to contextualize the skill sets needed for this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is stupid. This is a stupid waste of time. And that's the majority, unfortunately, of so much training I see. There's bad context on what people are learning versus what they need to learn.
Well, just get some rounds down there.
Dude, you need magazine
fuck out of here.
Or ammunition management is 10 times more important than how fast I can do a super fast speed reload. The reality is if I hit slide lock on a gun, bad planning. Or deep shit.
Deep shit.
Right? Yeah. In a competition environment, for example, if I hit slide lock, that's bad planning. In a real world situation, if I hit slide lock, that's bad planning. Or deep shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some situations, context, where it might be a little different. If I'm carrying a Glock 43 that holds six rounds, or, you know,
I might want to be able to reload that fairly quickly.
Yeah. It's like, dude, if I only have eight rounds in my gun, yes, a faster reload is going to be more important for an armed citizen's perspective than someone who's got 15 to 20 rounds mm-hmm. in their primary gun, for sure, right? Context. Always look at the context of what you're learning and what you're working on versus what you need to be. It's really easy to get sucked down the rabbit hole of just these masturbatory freaking range drills of like, I got to do this in so much time. I can just draw like this. Then I got to shoot like this. Then I got to reload. Those are good tests and evaluations of where you're at watermark wise. Like, mm-hmm. hey, man, I'm going to do this JJ Ricazza situation, whatever you talked about. I got to shoot, reload, shoot. All right, cool. What's the context of shoot, reload, shoot? Fucking zero for me.
Right.
But if I run that, time myself and go, okay, compared to this guy, I'm here. His application is X. My application is Y.
Well, and it's also
how
a good
can
way
I
to
modify this then? Because I want to see where I'm at. How fast was I from the holster? How fast was I on the reload? How fast was I going from a reload
it's
to
a
the next exercise?
It becomes a mechanics exercise.
That's exactly it.
Because that's
now
all
I'm
you're
looking,
looking
at. Individual things within the exercise. Mm-hmm. But just like, can I do the whole exercise? Wow, he's fast. He can do it 2 points. Yeah, man, he came up with the fucking drill. This is what he does. Of course he's good at it. Does it mean you can't be? No. Do you need to be? Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. Contextualize what you're doing.
Yep.
That kind of leads us into another bit, which is focusing on what used to be or worse, what never was.
Oh.
Right? Our instructors out there who are like, you know, like we just mentioned, no shit, there I was.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
Neat.
Contextualize that for me. Don't tell me that this works really great in a small unit environment if I'm not going to be in a small unit environment. Now, here's the reality. We don't teach personally ninja shit to some people and not ninja shit to other people. Anybody, any of our clients, for the most part, are available to learn anything that any of our instructors have in their brain as yep. long as it is contextual to their situation.
Yep.
Outside of NDAs and secret clearance type shit, we will teach you anything that we fucking know. However, how I'm going to train a CCW class, a defensive handgun class, a group of, you know, special operations guys, mm-hmm. a group of line grunts, guys from John's EOD unit, and a local police force in the application of the handgun – I'm talking about every single one of those groups is going to get some different shit.
Yeah.
Because every single one of those groups is a different application mm-hmm. of the pistol, you know? And so it's all about that context of what I really need to do and making sure that I'm not focusing on what used to be or letting someone else push their used to be or maybe never was mm-hmm. onto me. And just because someone did X, Y, Z – doesn't even mean that they're good at that skill.
It just means they did it.
Participation is not equal proficiency.
Yep.
And even more so, it's quite possible that any variety of us are alive, not because of our own capabilities.
Pure fucking luck.
It's someone else's. Someone else. It could be someone else. Air support showed up. Artillery showed up. Someone else zigged when they should have zagged. My buddy shifted position and said, oh, look, a bad guy, and shot that dude and I didn't even freaking see him or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reality that most people are alive because someone else kept you that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge reality that people have to look at coming from that type of environment with that type of resume and now moving into an armed citizen environment, which is the majority of people that we're talking to. And that includes even our law enforcement and really even our military guys. Look at the context of how we're training. How we train the PJs here in Arizona and how we train John's EOD unit in the use of pistols is not the same. Not at all, because John's guys are much more pistol specific and the PJs are much less pistol specific.
But they still need a level of proficiency.
They have to have a high level of proficiency, but we're also teaching them how to use pistols under NOD.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. Not a thing in EOD guys.
Don't need to worry about that with EOD guys. Would it be cool? Oh, man, it would be dope.
It'd be a blast.
Why? Right? But I'm going to teach my EOD guys how to shoot further than I'm going to teach the PJs. Mm-hmm. Why? Because my EOD guys, that may literally be the only gun they have. They're in a bomb suit or they're just in a slimmed down freaking kit and they set the rifle down or the rifle got blown out of their hand or whatever it was and now they only have pistola. That's a lot more likely than the PJs only having their pistols. It's not as likely. You know? So, yeah, how many magazines should one of the PJs carry versus how many magazines should one of the EOD guys carry?
One.
Yeah, it's like depends on the application.
Hopefully you got the flush flint 20 rounders.
Yeah.
And you have one.
Yeah, because like you're not going to carry a lot of other magazines on you. So you got to know how to get it done with what I got.
Yep.
So it's all about that aspect. Don't worry about what used to be, what's going on right now. What are you doing right now? How are you going to use this? It's super easy to get sucked into that idea. And this is one of the most common mistakes for sure we see shooters make. Is they get sucked in the idea of what's the coolest thing I can do here.
Well, and they also get stuck in the idea of, I used to be able to do X, Y, and Z, but that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago. That was fucking last week, right? There's a guy I follow on Instagram, competition shooter, jiu-jitsu guy, and he recently had some type of injury to his shooting hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he was putting up some videos of him doing some dry practice with his non-shooting hand, single hand draws and things like that. And people forget that that's a reality. Like he's just a normal dude and somehow hurt his arm or hurt his wrist mm-hmm. or something happened and now his arm's in a sling, right? So, yeah, you gotta figure out what you can do now, not what you used to do. And then what you're planning to do in the future. Like, what's your end goal? I think that's the other thing where people get lost is.
Mm-hmm.
Is they see all this cool crap and they're like, oh, that's what I want. You know, I want to be able to shoot, like, the dudes from that unit. Or I want to have the things from that unit or this or that. Or it's like, look, man, it's like, what's your end goal? Where are you now? And where do you want to be? How do you get there? Right? And that's another... Maybe a side note that I don't think we put down, but you need mm-hmm. to make a plan
mm-hmm.
to get from A to Z.
No plan.
Yeah, people don't plan things.
That's another common mistake. No plan.
Right? Like they go to the range on their own after a class with no plan and they end up.
I guess I'm better.
They end up shooting 50, 100, 200 rounds, whatever, right? And they didn't gain anything from that other than trigger time. Maybe they're reinforcing bad habits because they were just there and they were hanging out with their buddies and. Their ego got the better of them. And, mm-hmm. you know, you see it in the gym a lot too. And people working out. You see guys hurt themselves because they're trying to ego lift. And you see dudes not getting good training value because they're shooting their ego. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm way faster than that. No, that's because the sights are.
Or they're the Uncle Ricos.
That's the used to be's, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, when I was in high school, I could throw this football clean over that fucking mountain.
I was a track star. I can still run.
For about 7 feet,
yeah.
till your knees quit, because you stopped working out and started eating fucking McDonald's three meals a day.
Sit on the couch and just drink beer.
Oh, God.
So the last bit before we wrap things up here, and this is something that's more, this is actually more gear centric than what we've been talking about, but it is beginning a training or a practice session. Without making sure you have all the shit you need.
Yeah.
It's super common, man. I mean, we see people, we send out a course outline with a full required gear list.
Yeah.
And people will show up without it.
People come to a rifle class with no optics at night. And we're like, how do you plan on seeing here?
Lights with dead batteries for a night shoot. Oh, I forgot my ear pro. I forgot my eye pro. Whatever. It's like, I forget stuff too. I can't say I've shown up to a class and been like,
my range bag's not here.
Not my fucking range bag. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff.
Not like my ammo and guns range bag, but my like targets with staplers and glue. Shit.
And you know, I'm rummaging through looking for duct tape to hold everything together. Like that shit happens, man. It definitely happens. I'm not saying it's never okay to forget stuff, but especially when you're going out for a pre-planned training or range session, just double check and make sure you have all the stuff you're going to need.
Put everything together
a plan
the night before and go through the, I don't know, checklist we send everyone.
Yeah. Well, like John said, if you have a plan, you know what you're going to need.
Yeah.
Make sure you got what you need.
Yep.
Whatever that training may be, dry practice, live fire, working on the other skill sets we've mentioned, whatever it may be, make sure you have all the stuff you need. Make sure you got enough mags. Make sure you got enough ammo. Make sure you got the freaking markers to mark on the targets or tape to tape them up or fresh targets or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
People showing up both professionally to classes and personally to shoot without the right equipment or without enough equipment. That can be put a real hamper on the day. Consider weather, right? John already mentioned Redwire Gear moment. It's cold out there. Certainly when it's hot out there, people show up, not enough water. Show up, no way to cool themselves off. Or show up, not enough coats or no way to warm themselves up. And it's like, dude, it is cold out here or it is hot out here, right? We have to make sure that we are going to have the right equipment. That can make or break a practice or training session. And then if you don't have the right gear, sometimes kind of spirals you into then not doing a lot of the other stuff we've talked about or doing some of the other stuff we've talked about and not ending up getting the most out of your time. So, man, yeah, people also jerk the trigger too much. They don't have an appropriate sight picture. Their grip is fucked up. Yeah. From a fundamental standpoint, people have problems. This is probably what people were hoping to hear about today. But in reality, it's all the other stuff that has to do around those issues that we get to the fundamentals. And then the focus should be on the fundamentals. And, yeah, most people don't focus on the fundamentals. I kind of mentioned that with people wanting to do too much too fast. But that's the reality, man. Most people, all these things we talked about, these are the most common things. I mean, we sat around before the show and came up with this list because these are it was an easy list to come up with too.
Super easy.
We were like, oh God, what's another one? We were like, black, just vomited that out. And we're like, yep, that's the list because that's the most common shit we see.
Yep.
So consider that. Listen to the show again if you need to and go through that and go, am I doing that? Because these are the most common mistakes we're seeing shooters make. There's a good chance you're doing at least one thing on the list we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So make sure if you want to get better as a shooter, you're not doing that. These are the most common things we see. Anything to add to that, Drew?
I don't think so.
John?
No. I think that's
stop sucking. It. I'm just kidding.
Suck less.
Suck less.
Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email info@trainingaz.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure to look up the other shows on the network. Next week, another pre-recorded show, so sorry, about winter prep and getting yourself and your life ready for the cold weather. Some specific tips and tricks that we've got from living and working and having to do things in cold weather. And for those of you guys already in cold weather, well, it'll just kind of be maybe a checklist to make sure you got everything you need. But for the rest of us kind of starting to finally get into it, help you get ready. Until next time, stay where, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.